Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
God's way is to put to death the deeds of the body through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a totally different thing. So when you look at the various religions and going back to, say, for example, to Buddhism, you know, there is somewhat of a high ethical ideal that's put forth in pure Buddhism. But the problem is, how do you do it?
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, in a message titled, Slain by the Spirit. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, well, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I had been sort of just geared up in my mind to move right along from where we left off last time. We finished up in verse 14, and so, you know, I had just been, like I said, just sort of mentally preparing to move right from verse 14 and continue on. And the last couple of days, I kept getting part of verse 13, just sort of kept going back through my head. And as that was happening, I started to feel like the Lord was saying, camp out on this verse just a bit longer. And so we're going to come back and look at verse 13 again tonight. So let me read you verses 12 and 13, and then we'll jump into it. Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's the verse that was going through my head. That's the verse that I want to concentrate on. Now, there is a practice among the charismatics where people supposedly, under the influence of the Spirit, fall down as though they were dead. They call this being slain in the Spirit. And perhaps you've heard that terminology. Perhaps you've seen people having that kind of experience. Well, here Paul speaks of being slain by the Spirit, but it's a totally different picture than the one I just described. Paul is talking about the Spirit putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. So I thought I would entitle the message, Slain by the Spirit. So we don't necessarily believe in being slain in the Spirit, but we do believe in being slain by the Spirit. And it's an absolute necessity, according to Paul here. My friend Ryan Reese, Ryan is Raul's youngest son, and we've gotten to be pretty good friends over the past couple of years. And Ryan's involved in a ministry where they're really reaching out to kids that are just, you know, kind of into just super hardcore stuff, with sex and drugs and things like that. So, you know, it's a pretty intense ministry. And they're doing a tour, the Whosoevers. It consists of Ryan and a guy named Sonny Sandoval, who's the lead singer of the band POD, and this guy, Brian Head Welch, who's formerly the guitar player for Korn, and a guy named Ronnie Feist, who's part of this thing called the Metal Militia, which is a motocross, crazy wild motocross thing. Anyway, so these guys are going around the country and, you know, challenging young people and calling people to repent and all of that. But the name of the tour that they're on right now, they're advertising, is Murder Your Flesh. It's the Murder Your Flesh tour. Now, to me, that's just a little bit too radical. So my version of it is Slain by the Spirit, but it's the same idea as Murder Your Flesh. But so again, This truth is really important. And you're going to see as we go through this again tonight, we've talked about similar things, but this is such an important thing. I think we just need to come back to it again. And I'm not going to tell you anything you haven't heard me say already. And I'm actually going to repeat myself some of the things that I've said in the past few months. But again, I just had a sense from the Lord that we needed to emphasize and to further meditate on what Paul means here when he says, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So the deeds of the body, what is he talking about? Well, of course, he's talking about sinful behaviors. And in many places in the scriptures, we have those things spelled out for us. We have them spelled out in Romans chapter 1, this epistle that we're studying. We have them spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We have them spelled out in Galatians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. So many, many places we get a picture of what God refers to as the deeds of the body, the sinful deeds of the body. But let me just mention a few. It goes beyond this, but you'll get the picture if you don't have it already. Envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slander, pride, hatred, anger, sexual immorality, drunkenness, illicit drug use, witchcraft, idolatry, heresy, and those kinds of things. And as I said, the list can go on and on and on. These and similar things are the deeds of the body that we all have to some degree engaged in at some point in time. So this is what Paul's talking about. If you by the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, these are the kinds of things that he's referring to. And so he says that these things are to be put to death. In other words, these things are to be gotten out of our lives. These things are not to be a part of our lives as God's people. Now, mortifying sinful behavior, which is another way of saying putting to death the deeds of the sinful deeds of the flesh, mortifying sinful behavior is the common objective of most religions. Most religions share this in common. Most religions have similar ethical codes. That's why people say, well, all religions basically teach the same thing. On one level, that seems to be true because there are lots and lots of similarities between the ethical codes of the various religions. Let me just give you one example. Buddhism can be, from the ethical standpoint on what the objective is in Buddhism, listen to what it says. To cease from sin, to get virtue, to purify the heart, do not kill, do not steal, do not indulge in forbidden sexual pleasure, do not lie, do not take any intoxicating drug or liquor. I mean, that sounds like something that you'd read in the New Testament to some degree, doesn't it? So you find that there is this commonality in most religions on the level of an ethical code.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Now, all religions, with the exception of biblical Christianity, all religions attempt to mortify the flesh through some form of asceticism. So this is another thing all religions have in common. They all attempt to mortify the flesh, put to death the flesh through some form of asceticism. Now, you're saying, some of you, what in the world is asceticism? Asceticism is a severe form of self-discipline marked by abstention from all indulgence. A severe form of self-discipline marked by abstention from all indulgence. Prayer, fasting, manual labor, self-flagellation are the means of overcoming sin and advancing spirituality. Every religion has, to a certain degree, an ascetic view in regard to dealing with the deeds of the body, the sinful deeds of the body. But as I said, this is not the case with biblical Christianity. And notice I'm emphasizing biblical Christianity, because even though the scriptures completely reject asceticism as the way of victory over the flesh, Christians have quite often gone down that road. And the most obvious example of that would be in what we know as the monastic movement, the monastery, the monks. This is the kind of thing that they practiced in order to try to deal with the issues of the flesh. Now, how in the world did Christians ever get the idea that that was the way to do it when the scriptures are crystal clear that that's not the way to do it? Well, it wasn't long into the history of the church when people sort of drifted away from the biblical picture and started incorporating philosophies and ideas from other religious systems and so forth. And as you study a little bit of church history, you find out that some of the early monastic and ascetic ideas were actually borrowed from Buddhism that preceded Christianity, as some of you might know, by a few hundred years. So Paul shows the futility of the ascetic approach to victory over the flesh in his letter to the Colossians. Listen to what he said. In writing to the Colossians, in the second chapter, the 20th through the 23rd verse, Paul said, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." Now listen, he said, "These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Now listen to the way the NLT translates the same passage. I think it'll become crystal clear to you what Paul is saying. He says, "You have died with Christ and he has set you free from the evil powers of this world. So why do you keep on following rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't eat, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teaching about things that are gone as soon as we use them. These rules may seem wise because," listen, "they require strong devotion, humility, and severe bodily discipline, but they have no effect when it comes to conquering a person's evil thoughts and desires." See, Paul refutes asceticism. He says it's worthless. This is not the biblical way to deal with sin. Now, not that anybody in here necessarily gave serious thought to going off to a monastery, but there's various forms of asceticism. And these ideas, they can trickle down. And although you wouldn't even know the word asceticism, you wouldn't even know what it meant when somebody said it, yet you could actually be involved in trying to deal with the flesh through the same kinds of ideas that are rooted there in asceticism. But what Paul says here is absolutely true. You can deprive yourself of all pleasant food. You can put on prickly wool undergarments. You can sleep on a bed of nails. You can lock yourself away in a cave from all things pleasing to the flesh. And at the end of the day, you are the same bundle of lust you were before. It's true. It's true. And, you know, all of those people that have gone off to the monasteries and to the nunneries and to whatever other place that they would go in an attempt to mortify the deeds of the body, they've all discovered this, that these things do not solve the problem. You see, this is not God's way. This is not God's way. This is man's way. But it's not God's way. God's way is to put to death the deeds of the body through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a totally different thing. So when you look at the various religions, and going back to, say, for example, to Buddhism, you know, there is somewhat of a high ethical ideal that's put forth in pure Buddhism. But the problem is, how do you do it? Oh, you can see that this is a superior way of life. You can see that, yes, I should behave in this way, but how to accomplish it escapes me. It's the same thing that Paul concluded, attempting to be righteous under the law. The good that I would, I do not do. I can see the ideal, but I can't attain to it. See, this is not God's way. We don't beat the flesh out. We just let the Spirit in, and He deals with the flesh. That's the simplest way to put it. And these ascetic kinds of practices, the whole idea is you're beating the flesh out. You're pulverizing the flesh. You're trying to destroy the flesh. And as you know, no matter how hard you beat on it, no matter what you do to try to destroy it, it always comes back in the end. It's like that possum that I had to deal with many years ago. I woke up one morning, years and years ago, and I looked out in our backyard, and there was the biggest possum I had ever seen sitting right out there on an old tree stump. And that thing just looked as scary as anything could look. And, you know, my kids, of course, would go out in that backyard. We had a trampoline out there. They would go out and play. And it was just over off to the side, just far enough to where they could easily go out and not see it. And I thought, man, this thing, this could be really dangerous. So I felt obligated to protect my children. And so I decided I've got to get rid of this thing. I've got to kill this possum. So I got my pellet gun out, and I snuck up on it, and I must have put 10 pellets in that thing's head, and it didn't even faze the possum. It just sat there snarling at me, and I thought, oh man, this is trouble. So I heard my neighbor had a .22, so I called out to him and asked him. He said, no, I don't, but I'll come over and I'll help you, you know, I'll help you with this beast. So we got into a battle with this possum that, you know, in my lifetime, I've never had a battle like that with any other creature. And this thing, I just beat it and beat it and beat it, and it just would never die. I finally thought that I had destroyed it. And so I walked away to go dig a hole to bury it. And when I came back to get it, it was ready to go another round. It was unbelievable. And you know, that's how the flesh is. You can beat it and beat it. You can shoot it, but you can't destroy it. It just keeps coming back. And yet that's not God's way of doing it. You see, God does it a different way. We let the Spirit in, and the Spirit deals with the flesh. And so, again, that's what we want to look at. How do we just focus in on the Spirit so that the Spirit can do that work of driving the flesh out. You know, it's kind of like this. People these days, with all of our medical advancements and so forth, you know, lots of people these days are, you know, people around my age, going to the doctor, and, you know, maybe they're overweight and they've got, you know, all these little kinds of issues. And then they go in, they run a bunch of tests, and they find that, you know, they've got high blood pressure and their blood sugar levels are all messed up, and they've got high cholesterol and, you know, all those kinds of things. It's common stuff happening today with people, right? And so what happens most of the time is the doctor says, well, you know, this is your problem here and that is an issue over there. And so we've got these, you know, 10 or 15 different medications we're going to put you on, and we'll keep you going. You just, you know, take these medications. And people are literally on, you know, medications to treat something, but then to counteract the other medication that they've got to have to deal with something else. And it's just this big mess. I have a friend who had this identical kind of experience a while back. Overweight, heart kind of issues, cholesterol issues, blood sugar issues, all the things I'm talking about, blood pressure and so forth. So he goes in and he goes through a series of tests, and that's exactly what they prescribed. They prescribed a dozen or so medications that he was going to have to be on. And he said he sat there and he thought, you know, there's absolutely no way I can take all of these medications. I just can't do it. So he looked at the doctor and he said, I don't want any of these medications. The problem is, he said, he diagnosed his own problem. He said, the problem is I'm fat, I'm out of shape, I eat horribly. And he said, I'm going to change all of that. And that's how I'll deal with it. And the doctor said this, the doctor said, well, you know what? That is the right way to deal with it, but I don't think you can do it. And he said, well, we'll see. And he has dealt with it. But this is my point. It's the same sort of thing. There's all of these symptoms of the flesh and all of these variety of prescriptions on, you know, how to deal with this and what do we do about that. And here, we'll get this book for this and go to this seminar for that. And they might have to send you off to this camp for that. And, you know, all of these different things, when the reality is this, there's one thing. We have got to focus on the Spirit. And as we focus on cultivating, as I've said many times before, developing the spiritual life that's in us, the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, as we cultivate that and develop that, that will bring us to a place of spiritual health, which will then automatically result in all of these other things being cleared up. That's the way God does it.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife, Cheryl, about this month's Back to Basics resource.
So, Cheryl, for this month, we are going to offer a book that you wrote. And this book is called When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. And the subtitle is Discovering the Truth About Who You Are in God's Eyes. Tell us real quickly about this book.
Well, you know, I found that women hear lies constantly. And some of those lies we actually believe. And we've allowed those lies to intimidate, to form us, and to form how we feel and about ourselves and how we relate to others. And God wants to set us free from those lies, that we might hear from Him the truth, that He loves us, that He died for us, that He is for us, that He's going to use us for glory. And when we believe the truth and hear the truth, we're set free to love each other and to live a really exciting life through Jesus Christ.
So, all right, this is our book offer for the month. So, especially ladies, you want to check this out, and it's going to be a blessing.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for stopping by the studios and sharing about this month's resource. You can order Cheryl's book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you Cheryl's book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.